Good evening. I have good news for you. There is a power for good in the universe, and you are one with that power. And because you are one with that power, you can bring good into your life. When I say there's a power for good in the universe, you must remember that it's the only power in the universe. There is only one power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. We do that because we teach unity here. There is no such thing as separation. Anyone who still has separation in their mind, that is a holdover from brand-named religions. It does not enter religious science or science of mind at all. This whole philosophy, this whole teaching is based on the premise that there is only one power. It's based on the premise of a unity. And because it's based on that, and because that is absolutely true, that is why we are able to demonstrate, because we are able to use that power for good, being one with it, to manifest what we want. And we know that there is nothing standing in our way. There is not a devil out there to keep it from coming to us. The only thing that ever keeps anything coming to us is our thinking. That's why we also say, change your mind, change your life. And I realize that it's very easy to change your mind. The difficult part is keeping it changed, because the world outside is very convincing. But if you can maintain a thought long enough without denying it in any way or negating it in any way, it will manifest for you. Remember the other, I think it was just last week, I likened it to the Play-Doh factory. You make a mold, and the universe will fill that mold. Because what we are talking about is a formless thing. And the formless thing that we're talking about is this thing called good, or God, or the universe. And this formless thing takes form through us. We are the form of that thing that has no form. Is there someone? Come in. You have a big chair here. So, with that said, I will start, as I always do, with spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us, what this thing we call God already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know perfectly well that I am one with God, and because I am one with God, I can use God. I can use the intelligence of God. I already use that. Every time I use my mind, I'm using the mind of God. Every time I breathe, I'm breathing the life of God. I am truly one with God. And because I am one with God, I am not only entitled to everything that there is to have in the kingdom, I demand that. And I see that for myself. And right here and right now, I demand abundance, prosperity, and money. And I let that be so. And so it is. I want to talk tonight about a different way. You've often heard me use the expression, there is a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life. Most people go through life repeating what they had seen, what they see when they're children, and they imitate their parents. And they just keep imitating that. And the next generation imitates that. And that's what we call the world outside, or what we call race mind. And we have to be able to distinguish that. Because along with abundance and prosperity, and this thing that we call money, we would like to be able to live a life that is peaceful, so that we do have what's called peace of mind. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's look at the word abundantly. Yes, we want money. We want prosperity. But the abundance is the abundance of thinking, is the abundance in your mind, so that your mind is peaceful. When you have an abundant life, you're not tied down with what I call the nits and fleas of life. You are not repeating somebody else's life. Most people have no idea that they are not living their life. They are living somebody else's life. And I think it's sort of a shame to go through this thing that we call our life, never really doing what we want to do or being what we want to be, because we have an idea that we received usually from our parents, and we imitate those people constantly. So we come to these classes and we learn how to get abundance, how to get prosperity, and certainly how to get money. Now, I know tons of people that have money, but they're not happy individuals. I would like you people and myself to have tons of money and be happy with that money. Instead of thinking that we don't deserve it, that we're not worthy. And this is what happens with most people. I'm going to give you a story. I grew up in a very small town in Pennsylvania called Duncannon, Pennsylvania. Population 2,000. Everybody knew everybody. You couldn't get away with the thing in that town. Because before you got home, your mother already knew what you had done in town because somebody called to report it. So we were sort of walking on a tightrope all the time. But anyway, we had a lady there, and we called her Aunt Matt. She was not an aunt. She was a very good friend. But anyway, we called her Aunt Matt. Aunt Matt left Duncannon 30-some years. And when she came back, she went downtown Duncannon. And my mother said, well, Matt, did you see any changes? She said, I saw very few changes. She said, what I did notice was that now the children of the people that used to be on the bar stools are now on the bar stools. This is what life does. It repeats itself. And we believe that, don't we? Because you hear constantly, history repeats itself. We also are familiar with that the sins of the father are revisited on the son. That's what that means. We just keep revisiting the same thing over and over. We keep repeating things over and over. So, if we say that we believe in God and that God is infinite, then why do we repeat things? God doesn't repeat. How many people here say it always happens? You can't say I'm using the infinite mind of God and say it always happens. You've taken all the possibilities out of it, have you not? You've taken all the possibilities. But our finite mind loves to do that because it loves to see this is the way life is. And life is not what we think it is at all. This thing that we call God, you know, is always beyond thoughts and words. Always beyond thoughts and words. Many people here are interested in becoming aware. And they think once they become aware, everything will be fine with them. Well, you can become aware in an instant, but because you become aware doesn't mean that you don't have to do the laundry. Also, becoming aware is not a stopping point, because we're not interested in becoming aware. We're always interested with the consciousness that knows that we're aware. We're always interested in the consciousness that knows we are aware. Because it's that consciousness and that knowing that brings on the awareness. So it's a different way to see things and to look at things. So don't worry about being aware. Be more aware of being conscious of what's going on around you. Of what's going on around you. I'll give you another story. We had friends that lived in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. The father worked for Lucan's Steel Mill. The family lived on Fleetwood Street, which was near the railroad tracks. When we went there, the whole house would shake when a train went by. They finally saved up enough money and moved to a different part of Coatesville near the park. Beautiful home. They had two children. One was called Skip and the other was called Chipper. Don't ask. Both Skip and Chipper grew up and got jobs at the steel mill and moved back onto Fleetwood Street to start the whole cycle over again. The whole cycle over again. This is not the way life is supposed to be. But we keep thinking that that is what life is all about. So look at your own life and see if you're repeating things that your family did. You know, the whole idea of money and so forth. Most people cannot make more money than their parents made because they do not want to stop the cycle. They do not want to embarrass their parents by making more money. This is a known fact. But you have to break away from all that. You have to know that you are an individualized expression of the one mind. And that you have a wonderful life to live. That you're not imitating somebody else's life. That you're not repeating somebody else's life. And you do that not only by actually doing that, like moving back onto Fleetwood Street. You do that by using all the little turns that you learned at home. All the little things that can pop into your mind. You have to be aware of those. You have to see those things. My friend Jane, who was a school teacher, I may have told this story, I'll tell it again, called me to tell me that she had cleaned your house and she did this, that, and the other thing and organized the whole place and oh, how busy it was and blah, 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 blah. And she said, in your place, Dallas, everything is on display and everything looks nice and I just can't seem to get that done. And I said, well, yes, you could do that also, Jane. I said, first of all, throw out some of the stuff that you have. Oh, I could never do that, Dallas. I said, why could you never do that? She said, well, you don't understand. My mother was this way. My mother was this way. I hear that so many times with people. They say, my father was this way, therefore I'm this way. There's not a gene for clutterness. She didn't pass on a gene to her daughter. Her daughter observed that and thought, well, now my mother does that, now I have to do that also. Is anyone familiar with the story about the piece of roast beef? The young lady was making the roast beef, and she cut it a little piece off and put it in the pan. And her husband said, every time you make braised beef, why do you cut that little piece off? She said, I don't know, my mother always did that. So she called her mom and she said, Mother, why do you always cut that little piece of beef off before you put it in the pan? Mother said, I don't know, my mother always did that. She said, I'll call my mother. So she called her mother and she said, Mother, why did you always cut that little piece of meat off? She said, because the pan was too small. You see how we just keep doing it? We do all these crazy things without ever asking, why am I doing this? What is the reason behind this? We just keep going and going and going. I had a man visit me on Friday. I said to him, oh, I see you didn't get lost. I must have been good with the directions. He said, well, but you don't understand. He said, I always get lost. And I said, you didn't get lost. And he said, but you don't understand. I always get lost. I said, why do you always get lost? He said, everyone in my family gets lost. Everyone in my family. And that's it. Where do you go to from there? You know? Where do you go to from there? You have to be able to see what you're saying all the time. You have to be able to hear these things. I was talking to my brother. And he said to me, I mentioned his wife, Patsy, who I've known for years. In fact, I knew her before my brother did. And he said, oh, we'll have to stop using Patsy's name because now she's getting upset. She thinks we're talking about her. I said, Jack, put her on the phone. I said, Patsy, what are you doing to yourself? I said, I've known you since seventh grade. And I said, I've always loved you. So I'm not saying anything bad about you. She said, oh, okay. Now, she thinks if you're talking about mentioning her name, she can't hear the rest. She's sure that you're talking about her in derogatory terms. Now, what does that tell you, number one, about her?
That's what she
says to you. Thank you. About like that. So you have to hear what you're saying. So I said to what my brother and I talked on, and he said, well, you know, Patsy can be very contrary. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yes. And my daughter gets that contrariness from her. You don't get contrariness from anybody. It's not catching. It's not catching. But we do hear people say that all the time. You're just like your father. You're just like your father. Talking about just like your father, I'll tell you a cute one about that. That small town that I grew up in, which I happen to love now. But the teachers, most of the teachers that taught me also taught my mother and father. So if you made a mistake, the teachers, oh, your father used to do that same thing. You see, instead of correcting that and making something, you do not have to be your parents. You do not have to be your parents. You do not have to be anybody but yourself. And that is the wonderful freedom that you have. But we think that we have to please somebody, and we certainly think we have to please our parents. When you think that you have to please your parents, you're not living your life. And they would probably be more pleased if you would do something on your own. They're probably talking at nighttime saying, look, he's always trying to please us. I wish he'd do something else. You can't do that to yourself. You have to learn to live differently. You have to learn to hear and see things differently. This class is about money, it's about prosperity, it's about abundance. And you can have all these things, by the way, without changing any of that. You can be like your parents if you wish. But you're not going to be very happy. And the whole idea of life is to be happy. The whole idea of life is to fill yourself with joy. How many people remember Campbell? Remember, he was always talking about bliss. Joseph Campbell was always talking about bliss and finding your bliss. Well, you cannot find your bliss and your happiness if you're not doing what you want to do. It's an impossibility. You cannot do it. You can fake it. I knew lots of people that have become doctors because their parents wanted them to become doctors. When I go to a doctor, I ask them, did you want to be a doctor? If they'd say, no, my father always wanted me to be a doctor, I'd say, I would like to see somebody else, please. Because you're not one bit interested in being a doctor. If you're not interested in being a doctor, I don't want you around me. I don't want you around me. You have to see these things. You have to be involved in what you're doing and totally involved in what you're doing. And that's why doctors are not like the doctors that I grew up with, who wanted to be doctors. Now, what did they get into the profession for? Because their parents want it, and also because they know tons of money is going to be coming their way. You know? Frankly, I give them very little, and I'm planning on giving them even less. This trip that I'm taking to Sedona, I'm going to stay healthy. This trip I'm taking to Sedona is a healing trip. I am going to learn acupressure. I'm going to learn moxibustion. And I'm going to learn how to move the chi around my body.
Mm-hmm. So, moxibustion.
What is moxibustion?
I thought no one was in cups.
It's not candles and cups. Candles and cups are candles and cups. Moxibustion is the idea of burning mud warts on your skin. Mud warts. That's a little piece of incense that they make up. It burns. It does not hurt your skin.
It's acupuncture.
To burn that.
Part of an acupuncture.
Acupuncturers use it, but it's two different things.
Yeah.
And you put it on the meridians and blocked areas and so forth, you know.
So, learning how to be a practitioner, or?
Yes, I will eventually be a practitioner of it. Yeah. Okay. It's another thing to add to my toolbox.
You have a lot of toolbox.
Yes. Because I do not want to go down the same road that my parents went down. My father died of colon cancer. My brother eats red meat. I said to my brother, Jack, don't you realize that that's very bad for your digestive system to eat all that meat? He said, well, why would I worry about it? I'll die of colon cancer, my dad did. How many people here think that? That they're going to develop what their parents did because the world outside tells you that's what happens to you.
These two.
Yeah? You think you're going to?
Well, I'm worried about it. Hope I don't.
Well, don't hope. Know that you're not going to. Know that you can change that. We know now that we can change the DNA. We can change our own DNA. That's a proven thing. They're just not... People aren't doing it, but it is scientifically documented that you can change your DNA. You can change anything in your life. Now, how do you think we're going to change our DNA, people?
Changing our minds.
Yes, we're going to change our minds about it. But what part of our mind, what tool are we going to use to do that? Same tool I tell you every time.
Imagination.
Go ahead.
Imagination.
Yes. You have to use your imagination. You have to sit down and see your DNA. And you have to see it changing. See the spiral changing. Ask your DNA to change. Ask your body to do that for you. The body must always follow the mind. Always follow the mind. So when there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do, don't you think you could give up the idea of disease? You could give that idea up. That's an idea. That's an idea. The germ theory is an idea too. Merely a theory that people buy into. Merely a theory. I know people live in the worst environments whatsoever and they never get sick. They never get sick. My friend Doug the Baptist can eat tainted meat.
Doug the Baptist.
He does eat tainted meat. Never get sick. Never get sick. Maybe we should all be Baptists. I don't know. But you have to look at your life and see, how do I want? Do I want my life to play out the way my parents' life played out? Do I want that? We don't want that. No. And we can change that. They were wonderful people. I'm not putting my parents down. I'm not putting any parent down whatsoever. I never put a parent down. Why do I never put a parent down? Well, yes, I'm putting myself down.
Putting God down.
And I'm putting God down, and also I picked my parents. So why then would I say I made a mistake and they're awful people?
Because then you'd be a bad picker?
I'd be a bad picker.
If your picker's broke.
Might be a bad picker. But when you start out with that premise, that you're the one who picked your parents, then you can get rid of all that psychological garbage that we hear, all that psychobabble that's going on out there, that your parents did that to you. Do you remember the story of the lady that when I was in Monte Carlo at a cafe, and there was a lady, English woman, and an American woman, and they were having a conversation, their husbands were there too. They were having a conversation about their grandchildren. And of course, the American woman said, "Here, look at my grandchildren." And out came all these pictures. She said to the English woman, "Do you have any pictures of your grandchildren?" She said, "Why, no, I'm not carrying those pictures around." Then they went on, and she said, "Well, what are their names?" The woman said, "Names?" She said to her husband, "What are their names?" Well, the conversation just kept going. It got worse. I just loved it. And this English woman, by the way, had those lorgnette little glasses. Uh-huh. She picked them up and look at it. So finally, the American woman says to her, "Well, you know, my daughter is blaming everything on me." She went to a therapist, a psychiatrist, and he said, told her, "The problem is you were potty trained too soon." This woman, this is true, she picked up those glasses and she looked at that woman and she said, sounds like an American idea to me. They wouldn't do that in England. That would never occur to them. Potty training somebody too soon would cause all these psychological mishaps. That's an American idea, people. And it's only an idea. It's only an idea. Most of the things that we think are real are merely somebody's idea, somebody's opinion. And we think, oh, yes, that's real. It's not real. Change your mind about those things. Make up your own mind about those things. Otherwise, you're not going through life differently. If you come to this teaching and you learn this teaching, you've got to change the way you live and the way you think about things. How many people know people that consider themselves religious? And I'll tell another story on my friend Doug the Baptist. We came out of church one day. Doug, by the way, was the one who taught single people in the church, Sunday school. So we came out of church, and he's on his way home. We're on our way home, and he says to me, "Dallas, you know, I have to hand in that insurance claim on that truck of mine." But he said, "I don't know if I'll meet the deductible." He said, "Do you think if I took a baseball bat to it and beat it up, I could, you know, it would meet the thing?" I looked at him and I said, "Doug, you just came out of church." He looked at me and he said, "Well, that has nothing to do with church, Dallas. Business and church are two different things." This is when I knew there was something funny. Something funny. But most people go to churches. That's only when they're in church that things, as soon as they step outside, the whole world changes. They let the whole world eat them up again. The world is convincing. Don't let it convince you. Don't let it convince you. Lead your own life. Don't you think it would be dishonoring this thing that we call God to just keep repeating somebody else's life all the time? Mm-hmm. And we do that without even thinking about it. We do that. And we hear conversations. We hear things. I was at the printer getting these little treatments today, and a man wanted to get to the something that's coming that he wanted to send something out in. And he said, looked at me, I didn't even know him, he looked at me and he said, "Well, we can always hope, can't we? I guess that's all we can do." Well, that means absolutely nothing. And people think that means something. Hope. I guess that's all we can do. You know, why didn't he know? You see, instead of hoping, you have to know. "I hope I'll get the job. I know I have the job." Did you get yours?
Yeah. After Friday, when we were talking about, you know, auditions.
Tell them.
Well, Friday last week, a couple of us, Andy, we were talking about. So many people go out and they say, "Oh, I got all these auditions." Della says, "That's great, but the auditions aren't what you want. You want the part." So I'm a contractor. And I thought, "Oh, okay. I went on all these bids. Not the bids I want. Contract." So I thought, okay, well, I'll get Stephanie on board with this, my project manager, because we were going somewhere when I left here. And I picked her up and I said, we were talking in class a lot. So we did that. She said, "Okay, we'll do this." And then I said, "Okay, let's do this." And we kind of went back and forth and did this visualizing. Got back to the office and there was a phone call. "The bid looks fine. When can we get started on this one bid that we had gone on?" So I called Dallas and I said, "I'll let you know." Practiced it. Worked.
If you practice it, it works. If you work it, it works. But you have to keep working it. And you have to be specific. When you say, "I'm out getting all these bids," you think that the rest is going to follow. It is not going to follow. If you want bids, the universe will give you bids. But it will not take it past that. What was funny? Did I say something wrong?
No, it's funny.
The same way with auditions. Actors want auditions, and they're delighted. They can spend their whole day at auditions. Well, what good did that do them?
Yeah.
Didn't get their job, didn't pay their rent, it didn't do that. You always have to tell what you want. I want an audition and the part. You know, when you hear here, oh, go have fun at auditions. Just have fun at auditions. Your job is to go to auditions. Your job is to get parts.
Yeah.
It may take an audition to get the part, but your job is not the audition. Your job is to get the part. So you have to know when you go into anything, the end result. You see, this teaching starts at the end. Everything is already done. Everything is already done. You start from there, not from here. And people want to start from here because the human mind in this plane of action that we live in sees linear time. There is no such thing as time, especially linear time in the mind of God or in the universe itself. Scientists now know that time is expanding this way, not this way. Our mind only does that to organize things, people. And it's absolutely, completely man-made. And since you made it, you can do anything you want with time. How many people here, you are, I think, able to stretch time when you want more time? Yes, you just stretch it.
I did that tonight, coming over the hill.
Time works for me.
Yes, time is not against you, it's not your enemy. You're making the whole thing up. You know, remember my little saying, whatever short time may rot, everything ready, right on the dot? You like that one.
That's my favorite.
Whatever short time may rot, everything ready, right on the dot. Right on the dot. So if I'm leaving the house, I use that to get here right on the dot. I use that for when I'm doing any project. I do that all the time. And everything is done for me. You know? But I also know that I'm being helped all the time. You see, I never forget that it's the Father within that doeth the work. I love to take credit for that. But I know what the power is. You can take credit for it. Won't upset God, people. You cannot upset God. You can't. But you have to realize that. You have to know, geez, I have this power tonight we started with. There's a power for good in the universe, and I'm one with that power, therefore I can use that power. Well, if there's a power for good in the universe, then I say, get rid of this traffic for me, do this, move that out of the way.
It works.
Well, of course it works. I like to move the clouds around. That's my favorite. You can do that. You can learn to do that. Yeah. You try it. When you're a kid, couldn't you find all kinds of faces and all kinds of things in a cloud? Well, you can also move them where you want them to go. Well, you'll learn all that. It'll all come to you. But you don't need to know that. You do not need to know how to move a cloud to bring money into your life. You don't need to know that. What do you need to know?
That it's already there.
There's always enough. That it's already there. But you are your money. You are your money. And you're making money all the time. You're creating money that you never had before. When you want something, does not the money appear to get what you want? Mm-hmm. Your mind will always figure out a way to bring the money to you. You just don't know that yet. You have to remember that. That's a completely different way to go through life. How many people here have read the book, and we're going to do that, I guess, soon? Spiritual Economics. Eric Butterworth. Fabulous book. See, there's a different way. I'm not teaching economics that you would get if you went to an accounting class or something. I'm not telling you what Merrill Lynch would tell you. I'm telling you a completely different way to go through life and a different way to have money in your life. Because money is never the issue. We make it an issue, but it's never an issue. If you want something, you can get it.
Isn't that too because race mind so accepts money as an excuse? So you can always use that as an excuse, right? Like you use time.
How about?
I can't, don't have enough time.
Or, and we use traffic.
Yeah.
You see, that's the biggest excuse in the world that people use. Well, I'm sorry, I'm late. It was the traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, traffic has no influence over you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it's an impossibility to be late.
Traffic works for me.
Traffic always gets out of the way. Traffic always gets out of the way. You have to remember to put your life in divine right order. Then you have to, when you do that, you have to remember, is God late ever? Wouldn't it be something with God for God to get up? You know? It can't be. So you have to do that. You have to go back to those things. So I was talking to another friend this very morning who was complaining about his mother and said, you know, she makes me an absolute nervous wreck. And the mother said, well, you should take vitamins, something, you should do this and that. Your nerves are just too bad. And he said to me, well, my nerves are bad because she has bad nerves, Dallas, and you know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, that's out and out race mind. It's also stupid. And he happens to be a very brilliant person, but see, they don't hear that. They never hear that. Now, I don't say anything to him. I had him in a class 30 years ago. He hasn't gotten past that yet. You know, the tree. You have to look at that saying this way. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm one with God. God is the tree. I am the apple. And I don't fall far from that. Therefore, I have all the qualities of God. I have all the intelligence of God. I have all the power of God. But you see what the world wants to tell you? Always bring it down to your earthly parents. Does anyone remember when Jesus was 12 years old? He was in the temple and somebody came in and said, your parents are out front waiting for you in a limousine. I made that part up. And he said, who calls themselves my parents? Who calls themselves my parents? He knew his Heavenly Father. You see, you have to move up constantly in consciousness. You have to see yourself. See, we say all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is. We hear that we're children of God. We hear that we're this of God and that of God. But how many people here really know that, really feel that? You have to embody that. You have to know that you're one with God, that God is your Father, if you want to put it in that term, and that that's a loving Father. And that Father gets great pleasure in giving you the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Prosperity, abundance, money, peace of mind. That's what the kingdom that everyone is looking for. And we think that we're going to get it when we have money. Mm-hmm. And we think we'll have no problems when we have money. You'll just have richer problems. But you'll be able to solve them. Think of going through life differently than what you see other people doing out there. Otherwise, you might as well go to a brand name church where life just keeps repeating itself. Don't repeat yourself. Learn to be that wonderful human being that you are. Know that you're one with God. And your life will change.
Good question. I'm having a hard time understanding where race mind is coming from.
Ah. Race mind comes from the ego mind. And the ego mind comes from the whole idea was how we got ourselves here in the first place is because all of a sudden we split off from the divinity. And then ego mind immediately said, oh, you're separate now. And then it started to build a world of its own. It started to build a world of its own. That's why the ego fights you so much. It does not want you to know that it has no life whatsoever. The only life the ego has is the life that you breathe into it. But it'll fight tooth and nail to tell you that it is a living entity. And how many people here still feel that it's a living entity because you can actually hear your ego talking to you? You see? But it is not a living entity. So then it built up all these misconceptions to keep you separately. You see, as long as we have an idea of separation, we can't use the power. Or we can use it now and again. But we can't use it constantly. Because the ego steps in. The ego steps in.
As long as we're on the subject, I hear a lot of stuff about the ego, and I think, I don't know, it sounds kind of like it's a bad rap. Like, what's a healthy way to use your ego? How are we supposed to use it?
Well, you can't live without your ego. That's a given. You wouldn't be the person you are today, and you wouldn't be where you are today, and as far along as you are today, if it wasn't the ego that kept you going. But now that you realize that, you say to your ego, thank you very much. You have brought me this far. Now I think I can handle the rest on my own. See? And I realize that it's a completely different way to go through life. But you don't try to fight the ego. You don't try to kill it off, because if you do, it's like riding a bucking bronco. You have to ease the ego out of your life.
So it has no purpose now.
It has no purpose. It has no purpose once you develop the rest of your mind. It has no purpose. When I come back, we're going to do power brain. I'm going to teach you how to use your brain differently. That will help you. And then you won't have to listen to the ego mind as much as you do. But we all have that, and that's how waste mind came in. Now, when I want you to realize also, when I use the word race mind, there isn't God's mind and race mind. There's God's mind as race mind. Race mind is contained within the mind of God. It cannot be anywhere else. There is never anything outside of God. The ego would like to tell you that.
So we ask the ego to take a back seat?
Yes, but politely.
You know, if I was sitting here at 9 years old, you know, one of the reasons why I come here is because the teachings that are being taught by you, Candace, are stuff that I experienced, you know, as a kid. So I'm hearing it from way back then, you know. And so if I was sitting here at 9 years old listening to you, I mean, I probably wouldn't even be sitting here.
Yeah,
I'd probably be just going, yeah, tell me something I don't know. Right. I'm in touch with that now. You know, I'm in touch. But the one of the things when I look back as a child that I was very in touch with was my instincts. You know, and I trusted my instincts a lot. And And so I was able to manifest pretty much whatever I wanted as a kid, you know. I'm here now.
Tried to regain it.
Yeah, and I have, you know, lots of it. I have very few questions. Yes. You know, I it's really more about a commitment to the belief of what we're doing here than it is about being convinced that what's being taught here is the truth, you know, for me,
right.
You know, that's where I'm at. So, you know.
Right. Most people, and not most, back up. All children know this teaching. All children knew things when they were small. But then the giants that they lived with convinced them that they weren't right. And the poor child had to say, I guess they're right, otherwise they could step on me. So we give that up. We gave up our imagination. Look how when you were a child you could play and you had everything there. I had a toy tractor. My God, I had a farm and everything else in my head, and I was delighted. I mean, and I'm talking a toy tractor this size, you know. But that was a big tractor, and I could do everything on that tractor. But that stuff is taken away from us. And that's what you're doing, is you're regaining. You're regaining your what? You're regaining your imagination. Now, as for older people that stumble into this teaching, most, if not all, immediately know that they've heard this somewhere before, that they've always thought this way, but they didn't open up their mouth and say anything because they were afraid the world outside would attack them. Because the first thing that most people will say, well, this happened, of course, to me when I was in Tennessee, you know, they constantly told me I was going to hell because I was the Antichrist. Because they didn't want that. But people who come here, and it's from every walk of life and from every brand-named religion we have out there, they hear this and they say, oh, yes, I always thought that. Yes, this makes sense to me. And doesn't this make more sense to you than saying Mary was a virgin? It makes much more sense. The mind can't do mystery religions. Can't do it. Unless you have a frontal lobotomy. Then you can sop all that twaddle up. But you can't. This teaching works. I know that. I believe that. And I prove that constantly. So I'm not sitting up here idly telling you something. I read a great deal of literature. I read all science of mind. I've taken all kinds of courses. But that means nothing. You have to do it. You have to know this. This knowledge cannot be taught. It must be felt.
It was on Friday that we were talking about getting checks in the mail. Yeah, so I went home and I did that, you know. I allowed myself to have a check in the mail today. And I swear to God, there was a check in the mail. I was like, I fucking can't believe this. You know, I was like, it freaked me out. It was like, unbelievable.
Well.
And it was to me.
Yeah, well, know that that's normal. Know that that's normal. So that brings us to the point, here's an affirmation for you to use to get checks in the mail and to get money. I give myself permission to have what I want. How many people here want something but they're waiting for somebody else to tell them it's all right? I give myself permission to have what I want. And you do not have to justify anything to God. If you pray to God and say, I want this because of this, 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 and try to justify it, you might as well just take that and throw it out. The mere fact that you want something is all that's needed. When you were a child, you had to justify, well, why do you need that? Why do you want that? Come up with 7 things and maybe mommy and daddy will buy it for you. You don't have to do that. You do not have to justify anything. But you have to give yourself permission to have it. Stop holding yourself back by thinking, I can't have it because of this, that, and the other thing. A lot of people don't have a lot of things that they want because they don't want other people to think badly of them. To think badly of them. They're afraid. Don't be afraid. How, these are my cards for the, how total are you in what you do? Is your doing surrendered or non-surrendered? This is what determines your success in life, not how much effort you make. How surrendered are you to what you are doing? Meaning, is your heart in it? Is your mind in it? Do you really want to do it? That is what is brings the success, not the efforting. How many people do you know that work and work and they work hard and they effort and they do all that, but their heart's not in it? They never get a damn thing.
That was me for years.
I didn't want to bring that up. Yes. All right. Through you, formless consciousness has become aware of itself. God can only become aware of itself through you people. Through you, formless consciousness has become aware of itself. Most people's lives are run by desire and fear. Desire is the need to add something to yourself in order to be yourself more fully. All fear is the fear of losing something and thereby becoming diminished and being less. These two movements obscure the fact that being cannot be given or taken away. Being in its fullness is already within you now. You can never add or subtract anything from yourself. Remember all the people who want to be more spiritual. You cannot be more spiritual than you are now. You cannot have more spirit in you than you have now. You can learn more about it, and you can learn how to use it better, but you have everything you need. You are whole, complete, and perfect, and it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.